How are you? How are you feeling? How many of you were in the sanctuary Sunday? How many of you forgot? Let's try that again. How are you this evening? How are you feeling? I think they got it, Pastor Jack. Hallelujah. I tell you what, church, I wouldn't trade our church family for any congregation anywhere. Amen? I mean, it is a privilege to minister to my church family. You know, this is, it's not the perfect church. That ended almost 27 years ago when I walked through the doors. But I wouldn't trade us. I wouldn't trade this church family we have for anything. And tonight's message is not about me, but I do need to lay a foundation, so just bear with me, okay? I grew up in a denominational church. And my Aunt Dee took me to Sunday school, and my mom and dad made sure that me and my sister had rides every week. They didn't attend church, but they made sure that my sister and I made it to Sunday school, and we have the perfect attendance pins to show for it. Amen? So when I was a teenager and I was at the point in my life where I could have made a wrong decision to hang with the guys that I was going with at the time, I chose to go into the youth group. I'm not going to tell you why. That's for another night. But that was a good choice because that enabled me to get some training. Okay? And I was able to learn by observing two pastors growing up. My first pastor, I wasn't real close with, but he was pretty cool because we had youth meetings. Our youth group meetings were on Sunday afternoons, so a bunch of us, whenever we were done, we'd hang out in the parsonage yard, and he would always come out. He always had a word of encouragement for us. He was just a good guy. But my most vivid memory of him was the pain that I saw in his eyes when I was the only one that showed up to help him move out of the parsonage. Now, I didn't know all the details about why he left the church. I don't know if you know a whole lot about denomination churches, but pastors are here today, gone tomorrow. But I know that pain in his eyes was real. I was the only one that showed up to help him move. So his replacement came a week or so later, and I was pretty much standoffish. I guess even then I hated change, you know. But eventually I got real close to my second pastor. And eventually I was drafted to be the president of the youth group. And when I say drafted, me and my sister were on vacation. They had a meeting. When we came back, I was the president. She was the secretary. That's how things worked back then. So as the president, I had a requirement that I had to go to the board meetings every month, monthly board meetings. Never been there. I was a little excited and intimidated at first. It lasted about a year and a half, Doc. I finally blew up. And I stood up. And I told the board members exactly what I thought of their petty bickering and backbiting, most of which was directed at the pastor and members of his family. So I had it up to here with church people. So for the next several years, I was a faithful parishioner at St. Mattress.
Right. That's right. Yeah.
I wanted nothing to do with church people. Nothing. And then came the day that I walked through the same doors that you walked through tonight. And I met the man that God chose to be my spiritual father. Mm-hmm. Pastor Jack said it best when he said he introduced me to a Jesus that I never knew. I had a lot of head knowledge. I'm telling you, I was there every Sunday, Doc. I had a lot of head knowledge, but I had no idea who Jesus was. Pretty sad, right? So from my first days in the denominational church until today, God has given me a heart for pastors. All pastors, but especially my pastors. Amen. For Pastor and Bert Bannon, for Stephanie and Jared Manfredi, Jessica, Keith, and Nico Colomarino, as well as Pastor Jack and Teresa Robinson and Leanne Robinson, and Crystal and Joe and Gwen and little Jack Corzempa. And I can't explain it. As accomplished as I am with creative writing skills and as an inspector, I had a hard time putting this to words. The only thing that I could come up with is it's like a burden for me to show my appreciation for pastors. Amen?
Amen.
It's a burden. Church, we don't have the slightest clue of what it's like to be a pastor. I want you to think about that. I'm a deacon. Deacons know a little bit about maybe what they go through. Elder Bob and Elder Denny know maybe a little more than the deacons, but even they don't know what it's like. And I'm not just talking about the day-to-day. I'm talking the minute-by-minute pressures that they're under. Open your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 3. Jeremiah chapter 3. Starting in the Old Testament, Elder Denny. Jeremiah chapter 3, I want to read verse 15. This is the New Living Translation. It says, I will give... Who's I? Who's I here? God, okay? God says, I will give you pastors, King James says shepherds, according to my own heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. Somebody hands you something and gives you something, what do you call that? That's a gift, right? So look at somebody and say, your pastors are gifts from God. Yeah. Pastor Bannon is a gift from God. Pastor Jack is a gift from God. And church, don't ever forget about the families. Amen? They sacrifice way more than we'll ever know. Amen? Okay, look to Proverbs chapter 27. Proverbs chapter 27. Okay, verse 17, once again, New Living. As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. Church, we are responsible for one another because we're accountable to one another. It's what I love about our church family. That's what we do. We hold each other accountable. You know, Timmy calls me the needle because I don't pull punches. But you know what? I am my spiritual father's spiritual son. But that's what we do. We hold one another to account. Remember, if there's no accountability, there's no responsibility. Say that again. Where there's no accountability, you can do whatever you want. There's no responsibility. Listen, when, not if I miss it, I expect somebody to bring it to my attention. I know I can count on Brother Timmy, Elder Bob, Elder Denny. The list goes on and on and on. Why? We all have blind spots, church. Ain't nobody perfect here. We all have blind spots. Now, the only way we're going to get sharper is if we hold one another accountable. Do you agree with that? And when it's done in love, our pride's going to take a shot. But we're going to grow from it. Can I get a better amen? Okay. You're there in Proverbs. Look back to chapter 15. Proverbs chapter 15. Verse 31, once again, New Living Translation. If you listen to constructive criticism, you will be at home among the wise, the New Living Translation says. You listen to constructive criticism, you will be at home among the wise. As iron sharpens iron. Amen? Okay. Look to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I'm going to read verses 12 and 13. Amplified Classic, verse 12. Now also we beseech you, brethren, to get to know those who labor among you. Recognize them for what they are. Acknowledge and appreciate and respect them all. Your leaders who are over you in the Lord, and those who warn and kindly reprove and exhort you. Verse 13, and hold them in very high and most affectionate esteem, in intelligent and sympathetic appreciation for their work. Be at peace among yourselves. I want to read verse 12 and the first part of 13 from the Message Bible. It says, and now, friends, we ask you to honor, say honor.
Honor.
We ask you to honor those leaders who work so hard for you, who have been given the responsibility of urging and guiding you along in your obedience. Overwhelm them with appreciation and love. I love that.
Yeah.
Overwhelm them with appreciation and love. And then the first part of verse 13 says, get along among yourselves, each of you doing your part. I want you to listen to the life application study note for those two scriptures. It says, those who are your leaders in the Lord's work probably refers to the elders and deacons in the church. How can you honor your pastor and other church leaders? Express your appreciation. Tell them you've been helped by their leadership and teaching, and thank them for their ministry in your life. If you say nothing, how will they know where you stand? Remember, they need and deserve your support and love. Church, we're talking about honor right now. Amen? And I believe that that word honor, that is something that is missing in the body of Christ. Amen. It's my opinion. Take it or leave it. But as your brother, I'm exhorting you not to fall into that trap. These men of God and women of God labor for us. And they train us well. We were talking before the service. You can talk to Elder Denny afterwards. I mean, there's so much goofiness out there. We are so spoiled with the quality of teaching we have here. We are spoiled, church. Amen. The best way to honor our pastors is be here when the doors are open. Boy, that was weak. The best way to honor our pastors is to be here when the doors are open. We need to show our support, love, and honor for our ministry gift with our presence. ENCE. ENTS are okay too. My mom used to tell me, I don't want your presence. I want your presence. Mom, English was my foreign language. You got to help me out. Look to 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings chapter 5. That's all Bert's fault too. She taught at Rochester. I would have been an English whiz. 2 Kings chapter 5. This is the story of Naaman. There's many lessons we can take from this story. Many lessons. Elder Denny did a teaching. I haven't forgot that, brother. But what I want you to recognize and pay attention to is Naaman's response when Elisha sends a messenger out instead of going himself. Are you ready? Look to chapter 5 of 2 Kings. Look to verses 9 through 11. New Living Translation says, "So Naaman went with his horses and chariots and waited at the door of Elisha's house. But Elisha sent a messenger out to him with this message, 'Go and wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan River. Then your skin will be restored and you will be healed of your leprosy.'" Verse 11, here it is. "But Naaman became angry and stalked away. 'I thought he would certainly come out to meet me,' he said. 'I expected him to wave his hand over the leprosy and call on the name of the Lord his God and heal me.'" Every time I read that story, I'm judging Naaman, boy. I am judging him. Anybody else feel that way? I mean, what a prideful, selfish attitude, right? I want to tell him, you know what? You're the one that needs healing, brother. The man said to go dunk in a river 7 times. Go dunk in a river 7 times and be healed already. But how do we feel when we come up to the altar? Pastor asked Brother Timmy or Brother Anthony or Brother Dean to pray for us. About when we or a loved one has a test done or they have a hospital stay and the pastor sends Elder Denny or Elder Bob to see us. We're better than that, church. We've been taught better than that. Amen? Pastor has imparted his wisdom into us for many years. Pastor Jack is picked right up. These men are second to none, church. We've been trained by the best. Now, they put our trust in us to continue fulfilling the vision of the house. I don't ever want to let my pastors down. I don't believe you do either. Reverential fear. I don't ever want to let Jesus down. And I know you feel the same way too. Look to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Thank you. Tell me, what'd you do with Hebrews? Did you rearrange my books and my Bible again? Look to verses 23 through 25. "Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works, and let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near." Like to read the life application study note for verse 25. "To neglect Christian meetings is to give up the encouragement and help of other Christians. We gather together to share our faith and to strengthen one another in the Lord. As we get closer to the day when Christ will return, we will face many spiritual struggles and even times of persecution. Anti-Christian forces will grow in strength." Well, that's not happening. You kidding me? You hold up the wrong color sign, man, they want to kill you now. "Difficulties should never be excuses for missing church services. Rather, as difficulties arise, we should make an even greater effort to be faithful in our attendance." I realize this is Wednesday and I'm preaching to the choir, but Wednesdays are not optional.
Yeah, come on. Amen.
Now, you take offense at that if you want, but I didn't write it. Remember, I'm just sharpening iron tonight. Wednesdays should not be optional, and that includes prayer night, the last Wednesday of every month. I've said it before, church, I'll say it again. We have a family reunion here twice a week, and when you're not here, you're missed. Amen. Amen. Yes. Look back to verse 24. New Living says, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. It's what I'm trying to do tonight, church. Yep. This is not a holier-than-thou thing. It's what Satan's screaming in my ear right now, in case you're interested. That happens when you're standing up here. I'm not pointing any fingers, because if you point a finger, you got three pointing back at you. You know the cliche. Motivate to acts of love and good works. It's what we're here for tonight. Look to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Thought Timmy wasn't going to be here tonight. I was going to scorch you on a CD, brother. Ephesians chapter 4, look to verses 11 and 12. We'll read them from the King James first. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints and for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now listen to the New Living Translation. Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church. The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people. Whose responsibility is it to equip God's people? The ministry gifts. All right, good. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do what? To do His work and build up the church, the body of Christ. Who does the equipping? The ministry gifts. Who does the work? We do. Can I just say that our pastors have done and continue to do their jobs? We got to get a little bit better at doing ours. Amen? This is not a rebuke, church. It's not my intent. It's not my place. I'm your brother. I'm your brother. I'm here to sharpen you. Amen? Amen. Motivate you to acts of love and good works. Yeah. To build you up and cheer you on. Yeah. We're the helps ministry. You are in the helps ministry. Yeah. What does the helps ministry do, Brother Dean? Thank you for asking, Dan. The helps ministry, as we just read, does the work of the ministry. What's that involve, Brother Dean? Flo, thank you for asking that. I could tell that you wanted to ask me that. I think Pastor Jack gave me the best definition of the helps ministry back when he was a deacon and I was just a babe in Christ. He said, whatever you need, see that needs to be done, do it. I know that's deep, so let me come out here and say it real slow. Whatever you see that needs to be done, do it. So what exactly are you proposing, Brother Dean? Boy, am I glad my mom's in the service tonight. I didn't know if that question was going to get asked. First, I want us to step up our commitment to pray for our ministry gifts. Step up our commitment to pray for Pastor and Bert and Stephanie and Jared and Jessica and Keith and Nico. Step up our commitment to pray for Pastor Jack and Teresa and Leanne and Joe and Crystal and Gwen and Jack. I also want us to pray for this ministry, church. I know that we pray for our pastors, but I just wonder sometimes if we haven't let our guards down a bit. Are we still as motivated as we should be? Are we still consistent? Pastor said many times, the one thing that Satan has over the Christian is his consistency. You remember him telling us that? Say consistency.
Consistency.
Most of you will remember several teachings I did on the prayer hedge. And you might remember that I read several paragraphs out of the book Prayed On or Prayed For, written by a Methodist pastor named Dr. Terry Teckel. This is his definition of a prayer hedge. Say consistency again. Dr. Teckel's definition of a prayer hedge is more than just dashing off a few prayer phrases once in a while on the pastor's behalf, but rather a hedge of people recruited, planted, trained, aimed, and motivated, here's the word, to consistently pray for their ministry gifts. A hedge of people recruited, planted, trained, aimed, and motivated to consistently pray for the ministry gift. So let us break the definition down. First of all, we have hedge. We make up the hedge. We. Say we.
We.
2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1, part A says, we then as workers together with him. Everybody say we.
We.
Together with the Lord. That's the scripture, amen? I didn't write it. That's the scripture. All right? So we're a hedge of people recruited. Consider yourselves recruited at 7:30 on October 10th, 2018 by Deacon Dean. You have been recruited. Amen? Unless you're a visitor here and there's none, you've been planted here too. You've been planted here. Grow where you're planted. Next up was trained. Church, we got so many prayer warriors in this church. If you're not coming out for pre-service prayer, you're missing it. You're missing it. You see, Brother Dean, I don't like praying in front of a bunch of people. Can you just come out and stand and agree? You're going to learn. You stand next to that slippery creek long enough, you're going to fall right in. Amen? Also, prayer nights are the perfect opportunity. Did I mention that they weren't optional, Doc? Did I say that? Aimed and motivated. I've given you the targets tonight, church. I'll continue to cheer you on. But motivation, that's your attitude. I can't do anything with your attitude. I can give you a scripture, though. Look to Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1. To verses 19 and 20. Verse 19, King James. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Boy, that's really harsh, Brother Dean. That's what the word says. If you are willing, that's your attitude, and obedient, that's your actions, you will eat of the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, I'll just tell you, enjoy your stinky fish ride. If you don't believe me, ask Jonah. All right? The bottom line is this, church. We, in order for the prayer hedge to be most effective, we need to make it a priority. We have to commit to it. Your flesh does not want to do it. Make the commitment to Jesus right now that you're going to do what he says to do in his word. Amen? The next part of my proposal is let's get involved. Let's get involved. I was talking with Elder Bob before the service. I wholeheartedly expect this ministry to explode, church. And we need to be prepared. And the reason it's going to explode is we have the answers that people are looking for. There's hurting people. There's lost people out there. Some of the teachings that are out there are just totally off the wall. We need everyone to take their place in the HELPS ministry. Everybody. Was it Buddy Bell, Denny, that said the acronym HELPS, having enough loving people serving? Say that. Having enough loving people serving. One more time. Having enough loving people serving. That's the ministry we're in. Don't get this out. Don't get this in your head. After all, somebody will take care of it. Somebody always takes care of it. We say to ourselves, it always gets done, right up until it doesn't. Something silly. Last Wednesday, you might not have noticed it. I was so uncomfortable because when I came in, all this side of the church's lights were on. Timmy wasn't here. That side was out. Timmy wasn't here? Really? Wednesdays are not optional. Somebody always does it until they don't. Church, that's why it takes all of us. Amen. I'll let you in on a little secret. We need YOU. We need you. Don't let Satan whisper in your ear about how you can't do. I'm telling you, you can. But don't take my word for it. Go to Philippians 4:13 and read it for yourself. You can do all things, say it, through Christ who strengthens me. If you are willing, that's your attitude, and obedient, that's your actions. Okay, we're winding down. Let's go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. You thought you were going to get encouraged tonight. I hope you are. Okay, I read verses 12 and the first part of 13 in the message a little while ago. I want to read verses 13 through 15. This is from the message. 2 Thessalonians 5, verses 13 through 15, Message Bible. Get along among yourselves, each of you doing your part. Our counsel is that you warn the freeloaders to get a move on. Gently encourage the stragglers and reach out to the exhausted, pulling them to their feet. Be patient with each person, attentive to individual needs. And be careful that when you get on each other's nerves, you don't snap at each other. Look for the best in each other and always do your best to bring it out. Amen. Church, as your brother, let me say what an honor it is to be in this church family. Amen. Some of you were here before I got here, so you've been putting up with me for almost 27 years, and to that I say thank you. Amen. We've seen miracles here. Timmy, I remember standing right there, and you were right there, and Nikki was right on the floor. Pastor had me read a scripture, and we watched the distension in his stomach deflate like a basketball right in front of our eyes. I was here. I saw that with my own eyes. We've had people that were literally buried alive and lived. We've seen loved ones saved. Church, I can remember like it was yesterday praying that my dad would get saved. Now he's ministering to me right next to me in the county jail. Awesome. Look at that row right there. The little lady's not here. She's not feeling well, but I'm telling you, that's a blessing right there. We've seen our loved ones healed, delivered, and set free. Together we've done great things together with the Lord. But I believe we're just getting started. We have been and we continue to be blessed, church. Just look around you. We got our ministry gifts that are second to none. We got this facility here that's just incredible. He's given us a church family. The list goes on and on. Count your blessings. It'll take you a while. But when you do, I'm going to leave you with one last scripture to think about. You don't have to turn there. Luke chapter 12, verse 48, part B in the New Living Translation says, when someone has been given much, much will be required in return. And when someone has been entrusted with much, even more will be required. It's our responsibility to be about the work of this ministry, church. And remember, we're accountable. And that makes us responsible. Amen?
Amen.
I've delivered what I've received. Hallelujah.